Welcome everybody to Paul Listen It Behind the Curtain. So happy to have you join us. We're going to be talking about an incredible show that's come from Broadway and it's coming to Chicago. Thanks for watching us here as you do every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. following Mike Toomey's Great Laugh Track Show, and Sundays at 4 p.m. here on WGN Plus. Well, that is a scene from Kimberly Akimbo, and it is such an amazing show that finally makes its way to the CIBC Theater here from June 10th to the 22nd. And joining me is the actor who plays Kimberly herself, Carolee Carmello. Carolee, so thank you so much for joining me. Great to have you.
Hi, Paul. Do I spy a little Kimberly attire there on you?
Thank you for noticing. This is viewers who have not seen the show have no idea why I'm wearing this necklace, which stretches, by the way.
Oh, good.
But I did this in honor for you. And I'll just let you say, I'm glad you noticed it. This is kind of important in your show, isn't it?
It's the very first image that we see of my character, Kimberly, on stage with her candy necklace. And she takes a bite of it. And that's the very beginning of the show. So, yes, it is important.
I love it. Well, thanks for joining me. I'll kind of talk it away so it's not distracting. But we're all going to notice it now on opening night.
Thank you for the homage.
You are on the road. You are coming to Chicago with this show from June 10th to the 22nd at the very intimate CIBC Theater. It made me think, have you performed in Chicago before?
That's a great question. I probably have, and I don't remember which tour it was.
That's the issue I had, because I'm looking through the resume. I'm going, okay, I know she was here because you are just so Broadway, so Chicago to me, that I thought she must have been here. And yet, I mean, your background
things anymore.
I know, right? It all blends together. Three-time Tony nominee. I just want to say a few of the things you've done. Everything from Donna in Mamma Mia to Sister Act, 1776. By the way, a million actors here have played John Dickerson in 1776. So just so you know.
Okay.
It's unbelievable, including many that you might know. But anyway, Bad Cinderella, Lestat, Hello Dolly, Chess, Les Mis, Evita. My favorite is the fact that you've been in concert at Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, Town Hall. All of that behind you leading up to this. Can we start? Because, you know, the name Kimberly Akimbo, when people first see it as the name of a show, let's be honest, might not be the greatest name for a show because people are like, what is that? So, and of course, it's a must see. Tell people what this show is about.
The title can be very confusing. And also, even if you read a couple sentences about what the show is, you might also be confused. It surrounds the story of a teenage girl who I play, which is also confusing since he's playing a 16-year-old. But the character is played by an older woman because this teenage girl actually has a genetic disorder that makes her appear much older than she really is. So comedy ensues. No.
Right. What can be funnier than that?
Yeah, actually, it is very funny, even though it sounds like it might be dark and depressing. It's really hysterically funny. She has a really funny, dysfunctional family, and she's moving to a new town and going to a new high school, trying to make friends, meeting her first crush. And it's an emotional sort of roller coaster, but also, you know, hysterical. So I love that combination. It's my favorite kind of musical to, you know, have a story that takes you to the edge of tears, but also makes you laugh at the same time. I just think that's a great theater experience.
And I know the script is not clear about exactly what the condition is. I think progeria is my understanding of the closest to what
it's
this
the
is.
Closest,
right?
Yeah. They don't name it in the script, but that is the closest to what they describe, right?
So people need to understand that when we see you on stage playing a 15-year-old Kim, you look like you. I mean, in other words, they don't turn you into a 15-year-old, but that's the point. That's the art of the show.
Right. I'm dressed like a 15-year-old,
yes.
So
yes.
That helps to, you know, tell the story of her appearance.
The other thing that really impressed me about this show, several of the cast members, I mean, some were understudies, whatever, which is great, but they're the original company on the road with you now. They, like, didn't want to leave.
That's right. About half of our cast did the show in New York. And like you say, they a lot of them were understudies, but they were part of the original process. And so they had a lot of knowledge about the piece, which was great for me when I was rehearsing, because I only had about 3 weeks to learn the show. So having people there who had the show in their bones and really knew, you know, the tone, which is tricky. That was so incredibly helpful.
Did so Victoria Clark, who originated the role, won a Tony for it. Sort of curious. Well, number one, did you see her in it? And number two, when you take on a role like this, which, again, if you didn't see it on Broadway, you probably didn't see her perform this. But did her performance, which I really thought was amazing, you're going to be better. But did her performance influence you at all?
Oh, sure. I did see it, to answer your question. I saw it off Broadway, and then I saw it again on Broadway when they transferred. Yes, she was brilliant. And of course, anytime you're replacing someone in a show, especially someone who's done such a beautiful job, you get influenced by that performance. And I know from working with the director, Jessica Stone, that a lot of what Vicky did was, you know, became fabric of the whole piece. So, yeah, I have no shame about stealing things that work. You know, I mean, if somebody gets a laugh with a certain intonation, I am happy to steal it.
And there's also a character in the show named Seth, something else not in the script, but I think it's fair to say that he portrays somebody who is sort of high performing autistic.
I guess you could say that. I mean, he's certainly very sort of awkward and nerdy. I think it depends on the actor who's playing it, whether it comes across as on the spectrum or not. But it's such an endearing character. I mean, he's so sweet, and he's such a good match for her in the sense that they're both outsiders and they both feel like they can't connect with anybody for varying reasons, and they find each other, and it's just a lovely friendship.
And as you said, there's family dysfunction, there's so much stuff going on in this show, but through it all, your character is optimistic, full of hope.
Absolutely. And that's something, you know, I've been asked, you know, whether I'm like this character in any way, and certainly not in that sense. I am not a sort of glasses half full kind of person. I am definitely a realist slash.
They call it acting.
That's right. No, and it really does kind of filter into you when you play a character like that. Cause I know sometimes I go to the theater and I'm feeling, you know, kind of blah or down about something. I mean, there's always things to get upset about in the world that we live in right now. So I find myself in a much better mood at the end of the show because of Kimberly's character and how she looks at the world. And hopefully the audience will too. I really think it's a joyful kind of life-affirming show.
Also, is you one of the great characters in this show, love the character, is your aunt, Deborah.
Yeah. Sure.
And again, I haven't seen your production yet, so I saw it on Broadway.
Bonnie, yeah.
An amazing, talk about having fun. That role is amazing, your aunt, and she's just always up to no good.
Yes, absolutely. Bonnie Milligan was brilliant. Also won a Tony Award for that performance. And we have a wonderful lady named Emily Cook, who was one of the understudies on Broadway. And she's equally funny. I mean, she just, you know, as you know, because you saw the show, the material, she can be one of those characters that you just love to hate because she gets everyone into trouble, but somehow manages to stay out of it herself a little bit. But it's so well written. I just think the book and the lyrics of this show are so brilliant, so witty, so funny. And of course, the score, just Jeanine Tesori, and it's beautiful music, too.
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed her before. I mean, her work is so amazing. And this show, there are a lot of young people in the show, not little kids. I mean, they're all high school level. They're all your age, more or less, the 15, the 16-year-olds and all of that. But, I mean, they are just so critical to the fun of this show. What is it like? I mean, you've done a lot of roles where you're, you know, playing with, you know, like Hello Dolly. You got, you know, a lot of older people. What is it like working with this young group who are primary players in this show?
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, in the past when I've worked with people that age, and of course, these actors are not actually teenagers. Most of them are in their early 20s, but they portray teenagers beautifully. And most times when I've worked with people of that age nowadays, I'm playing their mother or their grandmother, you know,
so join the crowd.
Different relationship. you know, it's a kind of a parental thing. But this is meant to, you know, we're meant to be peers. So it's very interesting and challenging for me as an actor to sort of tap into their youthful energy and their kind of awkwardness and all the things that come with that kind of difficult period of life. I mean, sometimes we look back on high school with, you know, rose-colored glasses, but it's a tough time. You know, there's a lot of like, you feel, you don't feel like you fit in, you feel awkward, you feel like nobody likes you, and the person you like isn't noticing, and you know, everything's very dramatic and heightened. So all of the kids who play the teens in our show are wonderful.
By the way, let's confuse people just a little bit more.
Okay.
Number one, the show is called Kimberly Akimbo. People think your name is Kimberly Akimbo in the show. It isn't.
No.
I'm not going to give it away, but it is sort of interesting, the fact that even the name of the show is not your, I mean, Kimberly is, but it's not your name.
That's right. Yeah, it is confusing. I don't think I'm giving too much away to say that my character's name is Kimberly Lovaco, and there's a scene in the show where her friend Seth works on an anagram of her name and comes up with something that includes Akimbo. So that's where they got the title from.
Okay. I didn't want to say it. I leave it to you. I once interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, and I said, is there anything I shouldn't give away? They said, don't say Connor is dead. I'm like, he dies in the first 5 seconds of the show. What do you, anyway? So, but I let you do that. And then last question, which is on Broadway, there's some theater magic. Theater magic, we'll call it a skating scene and just leave it at that. Do we get the same theater magic on the road?
Yes, we certainly do. In fact, I think that it's slightly expanded because our sets are a little spread out because of the large theaters that we're playing on the road. So we get to do a little more elaborate skating. And people often ask, like, are you on wheels? Like, how does this get accomplished? But we're on actual ice skates, all of us, and the surface of the stage. It's a plastic called Polyglide that helps us to skate, and it's used in like ice skating shows and stuff like that. So we are really ice skating, and we have actual ice skates on. So get ready for that at the end of Act One.
So that's always on the floor. It just doesn't bother you when you're in regular shoes.
That's right. It can be a little slippery when you're just in your regular shoes, but you know, we've gotten used to it. And you know, if you tried to run really quickly, you might slip and fall, but there's not a lot of running in the show. So,
well, Kimberly Akimbo, I'm so glad we got to talk about this show, because as I said, the name might not say much about what it is about. And I have, having seen it on Broadway, I got to tell people, I have been so waiting for this show to come to Chicago. And I really mean that. It is so good, so great. And talk about a cherry on top when I found out you were cast as the lead in this show. So amazing. It is going to play at the CIBC Theater, which, if you haven't been there, is one of the more intimate Broadway theaters here. So you'll really connect with the audience in that theater. It's playing from June 10th to June 22nd. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Carolee Carmello, you are one of Broadway's greats. And I just thank you so much. You're fabulous. And thanks for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
I'm going to see Kimberly Akimbo. I can't wait for you to get here, and we'll get you some popcorn, all sorts of pizza, all sorts of stuff you have to have here. And we will be right back after this break. Stay with us. And we are back to Paul Lisnick behind the curtain, an incredible Broadway cabaret star, one of Chicago's very own, Tony Grammy nominated, Emmy winner, Liz Calloway, joining us because she's coming to Chicago one night only, Studebaker Theater, Saturday, June 14th, a 7:30 show. I am so excited that you are coming back home, Liz, off Broadway for a little while and coming to spend some time with us. You've got to be excited because this show, which is called To Steve With Love, tell us who Steve is something you have not yet performed in Chicago.
No, it's To Steve With Love, Liz Calloway Celebrates Sondheim. And I have performed this show all across the country, in London, Madrid, but never in my hometown. And I am so thrilled to be bringing it to the Studebaker Theater. It's a show that means a lot to me. Stephen Sondheim was a huge part of my career and my life. And so to get to sing his music for a hometown crowd, what could be better than that?
In fact, am I right? The bug for you came, isn't that the first Broadway show you saw in your life was Stevenson? I think it was Company.
It was. It was. I was 8 or maybe 9 years old, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And what was so amazing is that Company was, of course, scored by Sondheim, directed by Hal Prince, and played at the Alvin Theater. And then 10 years later, I made my Broadway debut in Merrily We Roll Along, which was directed by Hal Prince and played at the Alvin Theater as well, which was crazy. And so the day that I found out I was in Merrily, and I called my parents up, who had, of course, had taken me to Company and had, introduced me to Sondheim, I think it was one of the happiest days of their lives.
As it should have been. And by the way, and that's saying a lot for your mom, might have been a little more private, but your dad is very famous Chicago newsman, political analyst, John Calaway, who was the king of PBS and WTTW, for people going, oh yeah, John Calaway, he was amazing.
Right.
But so let me ask you, I know a lot of people who worked with Sondheim who sort of like, when he walked in the room, when he was there, they couldn't open their mouth, they couldn't talk. You're performing before him. Did you have that effect, or was it not that way for you? You were like comfortable, and he and Hal were just friends.
No, I was the same way. I was I worked with, I called him Steve. I worked with Steve many times, but that the shyness and the awe of his talent never went away. So I understand that a lot of people feel that way, and I was the same way. He was such an inspiration to so many people, but he also, I don't know, I think we put him on such a pedestal, which he deserved. It was like, Shakespeare,
And the bottom line is, we lived in a time where maybe many appreciated him, but I think now he's a larger than he ever was in life as we realize his impact. Talk about the show. What are we going to get into Steve? I called him Steven, but what are we going to get to Steve with Love? Are we going to get the whole panoply of things, and what are we in for?
Well, I'm going to share stories about my experiences of working with him in, behind the scenes stories that people may not know about Merrily We Roll Along. And I'm going to talk about how his music influenced me and my parents. The fact that, my sister Ann Hampton Calloway and I were introduced to his music at such an early age. I'm also going to be singing some of my favorite songs of his, songs I've done in Follies in Concert, and there's a song called What More Do I Need that I debuted in 1983. And I'm also going to have a surprise special guest who's going to join me for a very special duet.
Is that me yet, by any chance?
Well, you're going to audition for, right? I'm holding auditions,
I was
and
thinking you and I would do, I was hoping we would do Do You Love Me from Fiddler, but that's
Paul.
maybe an after show. And by the way, you mentioned your sister, Ann Hampton Calloway. Yes, a lot of people going, oh, her, I know her. Exactly.
Yes, Anne lives in Tucson now, but she and her wife, Kari, are flying to Chicago to see the show because they have never seen me do the show live. They've seen a live stream of it. But so the fact that they're making the trip to come, on
Oh.
June 14th is like so, especially because, our parents aren't with us anymore. And of course, whenever I'm in Chicago, I think of my dad because I would always visit him in Chicago. And in fact, the last time I sang Sondheim in Chicago was a big concert at Millennium Park. It was a big symphony concert, and my dad was there. Sondheim was in the audience. It was an incredible, frightening
So
but
it sounds like
amazing.
we're going to get a lot of this in the show. Let me ask you, for people who are Sondheim aficionados, they're going to, I mean, they'll know everything. For somebody who goes, well, I know, I like him, but will they, I mean, how much of this show will they go, I know that, I know that, I know that?
Well, I certainly think that they will know Sen and the Clowns. That was definitely his biggest hit and most recorded song. There may be some, I think there'll be a fair amount of discovery for
That's
people.
good.
You know, merrily we roll along. You know, when I did it on Broadway, it closed after 2 weeks, and it just had last year an incredible
Daniel
success
Radcliffe, who
live.
knew, right?
Right, Harry Potter. And
Yeah.
it was a wonderful production. So more, I think more people will know about Merrily We Roll Along because of that. But you know, I love to tell, it's not just songs. I love to tell stories, and it's a very personal show. And I think even if you've never heard of Sondheim, you will be very entertained and moved, I think.
There is so much more to talk about, Liz. While our time here on the WGN Plus app is up, as we are running out, will you stay with me and carry on this chat? We'll do it as a bonus conversation for those who on Monday turn over to WGNradio.com and watch this as a podcast.
I would love that.
Let me encourage everybody to Steve with love. With love, Liz Calloway celebrates Sondheim, Studebaker Theater, June 14th, 7:30, one show only. FineArtsBuilding.com/events is where you get tickets. We'll see you next week on Paul Lystig Behind the Curtain. Thanks for joining us. And welcome to the bonus conversation with Chicago's very own Liz Calloway, who's coming to Chicago, as you have hopefully just watched on Saturday, June 14th at the Studebaker Theater at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to say that email. They need to, for tickets, they need to do like a different website, but it's fineartsbuilding.com/events. I would just do liz.com. But anyway,
There you go.
so
Actually, if
Liz,
you go to my website, if Paul, if you go to my website, you can also get the ticket link through lizcalloway.com too. So,
perfect. See, that's easy to remember. This is a good one. So this is our chance just to chat a little bit because, again, there's so many people I think who are watching who just, you know, oh, they know her, maybe got frustrated that we didn't have all that much time to talk. Let me just go back to Chicago for a little bit and then talk about more about your career and all of that. But you did grow up here. I'm curious. You said that you and your sister, I think, went to, I'm assuming both went to company with your parents to see. Is that what triggered Anne as well? Anne Hampton Calloway, the very famous, you guys involved writing the theme song for The Nanny. Anne is probably like over that credential, but
oh,
it makes me.
never. She's
Oh, okay,
never.
good.
Oh my God, no. It is as she calls it, her accountant still calls it her finest work to date. And I actually sang backup vocals on that with her. And because of The Nanny, which is still played around the world, that
Absolutely.
was, it is amazing how many people know that. And it was also responsible for me having many years of health insurance. So I'm very
I
grateful
love, and can I
to
tell you,
Anne writing that.
and Fran Drescher was so funny. I did some years ago, I did a 30-minute special with her, and she is the nicest person. I mean, it's just, she's just incredibly nice. I mean, even I spent a day with her, whatever, and then a couple of days passed, whatever, and I went there with my partner, and she remembered his name. I mean, just she was just amazing at how kind she was. And that interview, by the way, which everybody thought would be 30 minutes of hilarity, well, we did it around when her book came out. So the story of her rape, the story, I mean, her cancer, I mean, all this stuff she has been through. What a life! But
Yeah,
she was
she's
kind to you
incredible.
and Anne, I'm sure.
And she's so smart. You know, she's got that, you know, character voice and, you know, her character in The Nanny, but she's really an inspiring woman. She's
Yeah.
really brilliant. You know, I wanted to, you were talking about when we saw a company
Yeah, I want to know if
act.
that's what impacted Anne.
Well, my no, I think Anne always knew. I think Anne always knew she wanted to be a performer. When we were growing up, I was incredibly shy, and I'd only sing when my family would leave the house. And then I would put like on the company album, and then I would sing. And so I came to doing theater later. And actually, even though I'm born and raised in Chicago, we spent 5 years in, my dad was transferred to CBS Radio in New York. So we actually moved to New York for 5 years. And that's when we saw a
Well,
company.
that's how you got lucky.
And so that's when we started going to shows. And then we moved back. And then I went to, we moved back when I was in 7th grade. And then I went to Nutria East High School, and you know, and the rest is, I worked at Marriott's Great America Theme Park,
Oh,
which was
wow.
my first professional job. I did that during high school, and I think it was in 1977, we did a show called Broadway, and one of my solos was Sendin' the Clowns. So,
Full circle.
which I will be singing in my show many, many years later. And but seeing Company, and actually our parents saw the show first, and they brought home the cast album, and I like memorized. I still know every song, every lyric from the Company album. That's one of my desert island discs.
What did you
And
think of the revamp of that a couple of years ago, where Bobby's a man? You know, all the Sondheim apparently was very, very pleased they
yeah,
did it.
I actually saw it in London, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting. But I think especially when you're a kid, you remember the first time, and nothing is ever going to, be more special than that. So I'm just happy that, I mean, Sondheim, the New York Times interviewed me for an article about a year ago about how his legacy is, he's just stronger than ever. And is it, and it's, and I also feel with my show and the live album of this show, I feel it's an opportunity for me to keep his music alive, especially with younger people. Like a whole generation of people know me from my animated movies work.
I
But
want to
for
ask you about that. Let's talk about that for a moment, because people don't
them.
realize what you recorded tied to Anastasia. I mean, there's hits in your world that are, once again, people watching us younger ones, because it's the younger people who come to these things, who go, "Oh my
Okay.
God, that's her voice. That's her."
Yes, and it is amazing. I had no idea. I mean, I've done many animated movies. Anastasia is probably the one that people know me the most from,
But
although some
Aladdin,
people
see,
know
you did two
Swan.
Aladdin sequels. You were
Yeah,
Jasmine.
Swan Princess is another big one. But Anastasia, when I did the singing voice and Meg Ryan did the speaking voice, I had no idea the impact it would have on people's lives. I see people, they'll hear me sing from the movie, and they'll just burst into tears, and they'll say, "That is, you were the soundtrack to my childhood." And now they're having kids, and they're introducing their kids to that music. So I'm also, hoping, I want my music to be relevant for all generations. That's like a big goal of mine. And particularly when I do a master class at a college or at a high school, I want to make sure that people know Sondheim and know, just what an incredible composer and lyricist he was. And yeah, so that's sort of my goal in life, is to keep making records and doing shows and sharing music with people.
By the way, I'm going to come back to Sondheim in a second. In the Anastasia kind of days, since Meg Ryan was doing the voice, was doing the speaking, you're doing the music. Was it a Marnie Nixon thing? Remember Marnie Nixon? Nobody knew for 80 years that she was the one who was doing all that singing back in the 50s or
Right.
whatever.
Well, what's funny, Paul, is there was an article, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years ago in Entertainment Weekly, and they called me the Marnie Nixon of animated movies.
You
And it was
see?
the greatest, that was the greatest compliment you could possibly give me.
Can you
I
explain
didn't.
for folks who don't know who Marnie Nixon is in these references? Who was she?
Oh, Marnie Nixon was the singing voice of, she did My Fair Lady. She did Audrey Hepburn. She did King and I. Did she do, I don't, did she do West Side Story too? I mean, it
Yeah,
was like
I think she did,
all
yes.
these, yeah. And she
But
was,
Natalie Wood didn't do that.
yeah, no, she did not. But I got to know her a little bit, and she was a love, we did some benefits together, and she was an incredible musician to be able to do that.
And did it
And
ever bother her that she wasn't getting, I mean, the fame kind of came later when it all sort of came out, right? Because she didn't really get the credit at that time.
no, she didn't know it was a secret. It was a secret. And actually, if you went to see the movie Anastasia in the movie theater, or if you watch it on, I don't know if it's on Netflix, singing voice credits are way, they're there, but you have to wait for them. It's not like,
So they
but
wanted Meg Ryan. I wonder if Meg Ryan, like if people saw, "Oh my God, your voice is so beautiful. You did a great job." Did Meg sort of say, "Ah, it was Liz Calloway."
I'm not sure.
Let's call her. Do we still have her number?
I don't, but I'm sure you do, Paul. You have everyone's number. But I think back in the day, they did not want people to know that that was not, Audrey Hepburn singing. But I actually don't know if it bothered Marnie or not. I never actually got to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
I wish I had the opportunity to.
But you get your due. And by the way, you also worked, I mean, assuming you worked with Hugh Grant, right?
Yes, we did a movie together, and I had
Oh, the
one day
rewrite.
working with him, and he was wonderful. He was and actually also in that movie was J.K. Simmons,
Oh,
the
yeah, he's great.
and I actually did a you played earlier The Miller Son, which is from A Little Night Music, and I did a production of A Little Night Music with J.K. In the 80s in Buffalo. And this is before anyone, and you knew he was going to be a star. So it was wonderful to get to be in this movie with him after and work with him again as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've been very lucky to have such a varied career with theater and recording and movies, and I get to
Can
do a
you
little.
talk? I mean, and you and your sister Anne have performed together and stuff. They're clearly deep
Anytime.
love for you. The woman's flying in to see you. But I'm sort of curious, in those younger days, was there, I'm sure your parents encouraged you both and stuff, but any sibling rivalry, any sort of, was it just like, let's both be stars? What? How'd that go?
Growing up, we weren't super close. I think Anne always felt in my mind, she was so confident, and so she starred in all the shows, and she could write, she could sing, compose, and all that. And it was I was sort of a late bloomer, and I found that we didn't. We had that little tension that a lot of, siblings have. But it wasn't until she left for college and she went to U of I, and I went to visit her, and we
In
had quite
Champagne,
in Champaign, we had
my alma mater.
quite a bit to drink back then. But we really bonded then. And our parents got divorced when we were in high school, which is actually was a turning point for me, because that's when I actually turned to doing theater. And theater kind of saved me during a rough time. And so anyway, I visited Anne, and we just like it was amazing. And it's like we needed that a little bit, a few years away from each other and to be a little older. Then we moved to New York together. I was 18, she was 21. And we've been best friends ever since. And we've performed together. It's funny about coming back to Chicago. I've performed with Anne in Skokie several times, in Naperville, and I've performed at Metropolis and Arlington Heights a lot. But there aren't a lot of venues for the kind of music I do in Chicago. Which is crazy to me. And so that's why I'm just so happy to be coming and doing my show in Chicago.
Yeah, this wouldn't be I know what you're saying. I mean, it would be a Broadway in Chicago kind of a show you'd be doing or something, but you're right. I mean, Studebaker is a, have you been to that venue, by the way? Because it is renewed.
I haven't since it's been renovated, but I went as a kid. I remember as
Right.
a
Well,
kid.
it's, I think you're good. I was actually just there for Paul Simon this past weekend. And I think you're, sorry, wrong. He was at Symphony Hall. Sorry, but they're very similar in their look. But I think you will love the space. Even though there's lots of seats, it's an intimate feeling.
Yes, and I love the idea of being in a theater. There's something I've done my Sondheim show and many different shows and small cabarets or huge symphony
Well, you're too
concerts.
big for a Davenport's kind of a thing here, with all due respect to Davenport's.
And didn't Davenport's
Yes,
close?
so you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and we'll just, whoever's watching us now will get this part of the story. I'm going to come clean. I had interviewed Karen Mason a few weeks ago. She was on her way to Chicago to do her show. It was a Kander and Ebb show. And the next day after we recorded it, we get a notification. Actually, she didn't even know. We get a notification from her, I don't know, manager, somebody who helps, who assists her, and who basically said, Davenport has canceled things. And I thought, is this ticket sales? I can't imagine. Karen Mason. No, they canceled Levi Christ. They canceled everybody. They're turning into something else. And Karen was great. It was a Friday night. And my thanks to producer Julian, because we all got back online on a Friday night because we had to get this show turned in to get it aired. And we changed the topic to her new CD, which was Candor and Ebb. So it all flowed. But yeah, a lot of cabaret people, singers, people in your world, I think, are very disappointed that that shift is happening.
I actually have never been to Davenport's, but I know Karen very well, and I know so many people have played it over the years, and I just think it's a terrible loss, and I feel just awful for everyone about that, because you know, cabaret is such a special art form, and there aren't a lot of places around the country that have venues, you know, for that kind of music. And yet for the audiences, once they go and they see what it is, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So I hope other venues open and that
there, there are some other places, but you're still playing the right way. You draw a crowd that you're in the right place, I think, for what you're doing.
Yes.
When you do a show like this, do you come alive with this as opposed to, and people should remember, I mean, you were Grisabella in Cats, you know, you were in Miss Saigon. I mean, you've done some of the biggest and grandest shows, you know, in the Broadway world and on the stage. Do you come alive when it's like, let me sing Memory from Cats? And I'm that, maybe you're doing that in the show with Sondheim. I don't know, but it's not Sondheim.
No, I'm not.
Okay. You never know. But I mean, is it sort of like, I want to be on that Broadway stage, or is it like, no, give me this moment?
I love theater. That's probably my first love. I love the collaboration and being in a cast. But I've also discovered how much I love this kind of performing where it's me and an audience. It's such a give and take. And it's back when I was so shy about singing, you know, when you do a Broadway show, you have a spotlight on you and you can't see anything. It's totally black. And I always kind of felt safe. You know, I kind of liked that, that I could just lose myself in a character. But now all these years later, I want to see the audience. I want to share my stories and my songs. And that's, if you had told me as a child that this would be how I make a living and that I like it. But
what
I
a
love
dream.
That now. It's like, God, you never know.
And by the way, when you come to Chicago, I don't know if you've heard about this. It's playing through June 15th, and our viewers can also go to WJRadio.com, watch this interview with the cast. But Cats has been reinvented. Have you heard about this here?
Yes, if it's the one that was off Broadway, which I did
no,
not.
No, that was called the Jellicle Ball. And
okay, so this is different.
This is Cats meets Cirque du Soleil. And
oh,
you probably
wow.
Know Gene Wigand, who plays Gus the theater cat. He's in it, and some great Chicago talent. But no, this is Cirque du Soleil. Grisabella, your character, you're flying on a trapeze this time. And it closes on June 15th. Come in time, because it's at the Paramount in Aurora. And it's like no version of Cats you've ever seen.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Well, I can tell you, I wouldn't be able to play Grisabella now if I had to do it.
If you go flying,
it was hard enough for me to go up to the Heaviside Layer in a lift. I'm afraid of heights. So.
Oh, I should have said that. Now that I realize that, I wish I knew that, because that would have been a great line to talk to the.
Oh, that's really kind of amazing. But I, you know, I do all kinds of concerts, and I do a show called Broadway and Beyond, where I do almost a retrospective of my career, and I sing from Anastasia and Cats, and of course do Sondheim.
And Sunset Boulevard as well?
Sunset Boulevard, I'll sing from
Desmond?
That. I've done that. Baby, the story goes on. I actually, Baby was my first big role on Broadway, and I got a Tony nomination for that. But I did Baby with my husband Dan at the Marriott Lincolnshire. So there
I
are
was
a lot.
Say, did you appear in these theaters? You had to have done Marriott.
Yes.
And yes.
I actually.
Murray Lane.
I did. So Dan and I did Baby for, we had a, it kept being extended. So that was really fun. So a lot of people I know, a lot of people come up to me and like, I saw you at the Lincolnshire. I also got my equity card at the Lincolnshire when I was 17 years old with a bunch of people who I did Marriott's Great America theme park with. And so when I moved to New York at 18, I was ahead of the game because I had my equity card from doing a show called Broadway Tonight, like four performances of it. And actually, I have a bunch of my friends that I did that show and that I did Great America, which is now, I think
It's Six Flags.
it's Six Flags.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the show.
Now, are these Broadway names some of us might know?
Well, the people who are coming from, no, probably not the people who are coming to on June 14th, but there have been a lot of, really fine performers that came out of there. It was incredible training to get to, working at a theme park, you did five shows a day. There was a live orchestra back then. Now it's all
Yeah.
tracks,
And I
but it
think
was.
back then it was Bugs Bunny running around behind you, right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
but it was great. It was a great training ground for so many performers
So
and
I have to ask, so
friends,
in this
all
show,
over.
and you've done this show around the country and around the world, and I'm sure there is a, we'll just call it a script, there's a book to it, but you are coming home to Chicago, and I'm going to make a prediction that the welcome you're going to get on stage will feel different than when you have been in any other location, because you are coming home, girl. And my question to you is, are we going to get Chicago stories and moments? See, I don't think you can talk about your dad, John Calaway, in, London or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. But here, where he was a legend, your sister has this, I'm sure you've seen it, but your sister has this shtick, where she'll talk about your dad and she'll say something like, we come home for dinner and he'd start talking about Operation Greylord. We'd be like, oh, Dad, stop it. And the thing is, here in Chicago, the audience would bust out laughing because we get it. Are we going to
Right.
get that sense of story from you that we could only have here in Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't even, and who knows in the moment how it's going to feel for me. I do have, I know the stories I want to tell, and there are certain things I talk about my parents and I talk about my dad specifically. But yeah, I also want, I want it to be organic and see how I feel in the moment. My dad, he passed away in, let's see, what year was it? 2009, I think it was. And
I know it's tied to your kid's graduation, right?
he was getting ready to interview Sondheim. And
Yeah.
after he passed away suddenly, and I was going through his things, and I took his research, and I, like folders of his research that he had, that he was in the, he was doing. It was so, I mean, he had interviewed him before. He had done a great, fabulous interview with Elaine Stritch at Steppenwolf, which I think you might even be able to find on YouTube.
Well, I'll have to
But
look for that. Was Elaine in
I,
company, by the way, when you saw it? Was she in company?
yes,
Yeah, okay.
yes. And actually, I was doing an event at the Carlyle Hotel. It was shortly after Dad passed away, and she lived in the Carlyle Hotel for a while in New York. And I had worked with her in Follies in Concert as well. I talk about Elaine in my show,
Good.
and she had heard about Dad, and she said John Calaway, he was one of the best, and that meant a lot that that she said that to
Oh
me.
yeah, and how
So I kept
ironic.
Dad's, I kept his research, and when I was putting together my show and trying to decide, oh, what do I want to talk about, and what do I having that, having his, his papers and a few articles that he had clipped and whatever, just having that, I felt like he was with me. And he would be, I know he watches, I know he's seen my show. He would be, he was such a, well, both my parents were such inspirations. One of the things that was amazing about doing this show is, I after I did it for four nights in New York at a club called 54 Below, I
Oh,
just
yeah.
wanted to pay tribute to Sondheim. And that was just, with people who loved him, and just I felt a real need to do that after he passed away. And a lot of people said, you really should record it. You should record a live album of this. And it
And
wasn't
you
something I
did.
had Yeah. And I didn't. I produced it myself. And I've produced the last four of my albums, and I kind of discovered my entrepreneurial side very late in life. And then this big shocker is that it was nominated for a Grammy for Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album, which is something I never, as a like a self-produced live album. It was crazy. And I think, God, my dad would have gotten such a kick out of that,
Yeah.
He
I just
really.
believe they know. And upstairs from where I am now, there are Liz Callaway CDs, which maybe I'll bring with me. Maybe if I get to talk to you afterwards quickly,
Yes,
I'll
please
have you sign
do.
it because now it's so personal. Well, I can't wait for you to get here. It's June 14th. And the great part about this is it's just been our conversation because when you're here on Saturday, the 14th of June, you're going to be so mobbed by friends and family who want to talk to you afterwards that this would be the last thing I'd get to do. So I'm just so
Oh,
honored that we got to
it's
spend.
been great to talk to you too, Paul. Really, just
And same
nice.
here. And we'll look forward to a reunion of sorts when I get there. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you, I met Sondheim once at Ravinia, and I passed him and I stopped him and he said hi and he'd worked with Greg and whatever. So I threw some names at him to make him stop. And then he saw that I had something in my hand and he said, I don't really want to sign any autographs. I said, well, Stephen, can I just tell you what this is? When Bounce played here at the Goodman Theater and it was a bomb, right? That became Road Trip and I think seven other incarnations. It was just a Sondheim show that never really, I don't think, ever did very well. But anyway, there's a scene. Richard Kind was in the show here on the stage and he's at their stock certificates and whatever, and they flew up. And I always sit front row center. I don't know if I'll be there for you. I'm going to try. But it landed in my lap. And so I showed it to him. I said, this is a stock certificate from Bounce that landed in my lap. And he looked and went, that I'll sign.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Did you frame it?
Oh, absolutely. It's on the wall, along with I actually have some other Sondheim signed stuff. And yeah,
Oh,
I mean, so, you know,
I
I
have
can't, I mean,
one little Sondheim signing
go
story
for
for you. This, so my son, when he was in middle school, he did a production of Into the Woods Junior, where they just did the first act and he played one of the princes for and did Agony. And so I wrote to Steve and I said, Nicholas is doing this. Could you sign? And I said, could I come and can you sign Agony for him? So he did. It was like to Nicholas, and we framed it. And then that night after the show, we gave it to him. And then that night when I tucked him into bed, he said, Mommy, you wrote that, right? I was like, I didn't write that. That really is Sondheim. So now he
did
has
he
that.
get that you really knew Sondheim? I mean, he got.
Yes. And of course, now it's framed. He has it in his home, and it's like But at the time, he thought, oh, that was the kind of thing. Did he really sign that? And I thought
What
that was hilarious.
a treasure. Did he stay in? I mean, did any theater stick with anybody of the next generation in your world?
Well, you will find out on June 14th.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll do my homework before then. I'll know those answers.
Oh yeah. No, but on June 14th, you will know firsthand. And that's all I'm gonna say.
And that's a great way for me to say it. Everybody else who also wants to know the answers to that question can join us. Tickets at, oh, LizCalloway.com. Let me
Yes,
see if I can do
you
that
can get
directly.
them through my website, which will take you to the box office of the Studebaker.
And in the Chicago, the more complicated website is fineartsbuilding.com/event. I guess it's not that complicated, but it works. Anyway, Liz, thanks for all your time. You see, I'll just keep, you'll say something and I'm
I love it. This is my
going.
favorite thing to talk about, and I look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
And me as well. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay,
And
Paul.
everybody, go see Liz Callaway at the Studebaker Theater. Thanks for joining us.